can be seated. And in this passage, we see the word darkness is used. And that same word is used 145 times in the Bible, or 142 times, in the Bible. And almost every time it's used in the negative context, except for like a few times in the Old Testament. And in the same passage of Scripture, we read the word darkness, and it's also used in a negative term. Because when we think of darkness, we think of it's nothing, because, you know, people are scared of the dark and scared of what's in the dark. And the Lord also said He's going to cast them into outer darkness. So it's nothing to be joyful about or happy about. He's also talked about the devil is called the prince of darkness or the power of darkness. And so it's nothing in a joyful context, but in this passage of Scripture, it's in the negative. And it's not dark because of it's literally dark, but it's dark because the one of the darkest times in history, because the Son of God, the one who has done nothing, even in the passage, He said He has done nothing amiss, is dying for the sins of the whole world. And so it's not darkness, or it's not dark because it's just literally dark, but it's dark at the time in history because of what's being done. A man that's done no wrong, and a man that should not be there, is dying for our sins. And in this passage of Scripture, if you were to ask these people that were standing there, like Mary or John, ask him, "What is this not the darkest hour in your life right now?" I mean, John spent 3 years in the ministry with the Lord, and Mary, her son is dying for nothing, because people are just that wicked and that vile. Because what people want, they're going to get it. I promise you, they don't care about who you are and what you are. If they can do it to Jesus, why would they not do it to us? I promise you, they will go at any means necessary to get rid of the truth. But if you ask Mary or John, it's just not the darkest time in your life. I mean, the hope of all the world is being killed, and the disciples are feeling defeated. The Peter goes back to fishing. Mary loses her son, and it looks like there's no hope at all. But I promise you, there's always hope. There's always hope. He didn't just die and he was left there. He's not like Muhammad or Buddha. He didn't stay in the grave. No, he rose again on that third and glorious day, and there was still hope. And no, it may have felt like there was no hope for just a little while. And all hell and all Satan was rejoicing over the death of the Lord. I promise you, on that third and glorious day, the hope came back. And just for a little while, I want to preach on that subject, is having hope in the darkest hour. And in this passage, we see a character, this thief, who also found hope. And I want to take a look at this thief and see how we can find hope also, because there's always hope to find in the Word of God. And in this passage of Scripture, we see there's two malefactors, and one was railing on him, one was bad-mouthing the Lord, but the other was seeing him for who he truly was. And even in the other Scriptures, it says they both reviled him. And it shows like the turn of heart for what a person's heart can turn from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And it says, He says, Lord Jesus, remember when thou comest to my kingdom, they were both thieves, they were both wrong, they were both unjust, but just like me and you, the Lord can deal with us. The Lord can show us that we're sinners. And even in this passage of Scripture, we see that he's talking bad about the Lord, but it's also a silent cry for help. He said, Lord, save us, save thyself and us. And that's what this world will do. They'll be like, I'm a good person, or I believe in the Lord and I'm a good person, but I just don't see how he can allow all this wickedness happen in the world, how these young children can die. Well, he doesn't allow it to happen. It's this world of sin he allows it to happen, but it's the world of sin that man has plunged us into, that Adam plunged us into into darkness, in a world of sin. The Lord is not just making it happen. He gave us a free will to do what we want to do. And I promise you, if he didn't give us free will, man would still complain. It don't matter. There's no winning with man. But when we see seeing our sin for what it is, if you want to see hope in your life and you want to find hope in the darkness, you got to see your sin for what it is. Because if you just live life and you think your sin is nothing, and you think it's something to be proud of, and you think it's something to be rejoicing over or just flaunting around, then I promise you, you're not going to have no hope, because you're going to be walking around with a multitude of just unforgiveness on you. You're going to be like David. And I mean, those 2 or 3 years, I can't remember how long it was, but that's got to be the worst time in his life. I mean, a child of God that's living in rebellion, that's living the backslidden Christian life, is the worst, is the most miserable person on planet Earth. if they're more miserable than a lost person, because they know what's right and they know to do right, but they're not doing it. And that is the most miserable thing, is you know what you have to do to go with God, but you're not doing it. And you know what's keeping you from it, but you're not doing it. But sin is our rebellion against God. One thief railed on Jesus, showing a hardened heart in verse 39. And sin also blinds us and causes us to mock even our own hope. I mean, he's mocking. Think about it. He's mocking the only person in human history that could save him from hell. He was actually died. He died feet away from the only person that could save him. I mean, he mocked him. He did wrong for Jesus. I mean, think about it. Even Judas, he kissed the only one that could save him from hell. Think about it. In hell right now, he's thinking how close I was. I died feet away from the Son of God that could have saved me. I could have been so close. And he's going to remember that for eternity to know that. What was I doing? What was I thinking? Amen. And sin also brings just consequences. He says we receive the reward of our deeds. He was a thief. He was a miscreant. He was something that no one liked. No one likes a thief. And he's getting the due reward of his deeds. And today we expect the same thing. I mean, the jail, we expect a law to be enforced, justice to be enforced. And criminals, the repentant thief acknowledges the guilt without excuse. True conviction admits, and I deserve judgment. If you can't admit that you're a sinner and that you're lost and that you're undone, you ain't going to get nowhere, because you are a sinner. Just like in Psalms 51, David had to acknowledge that he was a sinner, from birth, that he's a sinner throughout time. And I promise you, until you do that, you're going to live without hope, and you're going to live in darkness. Amen. Because if you're lost in this building today, you know what you're doing. You're walking through life with a flashlight, because you're in darkness right now. And the world will imitate the light of God, and they will imitate everything. They'll give you a flashlight. But you know what a flashlight does? It honestly makes it worse, because it'll brighten up what's in front of you. But to your sides and to your left, you can't see nothing. And it's like, well, what's to my right and what's to my left? You don't even know. But I promise you, when you get the Son of God, it's going to brighten everything up. Just like the song, he abides. It says, all my night was turned today, all my burdens rolled away. Amen. Because that's what the Son of God does. Even like in this thief, he may have been hanging on that cross, and it says it was darkness, but I promise you, the sun wasn't darkened for him. He was shining bright. I promise you. It brings rebellion. It's God. Sin brings just consequences. It brings sin requires a personal accountability. Again, in Psalm 51, he had to acknowledge sin because it was him that done it. It wasn't someone else. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't my pastor. It wasn't my brothers or sisters. No, it was me. It was me. Not my mother, not my brother. I can't remember how the song goes, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sin is a universal and deadly. Both thieves were guilty, and all stand condemned apart from grace. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is what the Bible tells us. But also, if you want to find hope, you got to see seeing him for who he is. You got to see him as he is righteous and without sin. He cannot just be something else to you. He can't be like any other person. If he has to be something, he's out of this world to you. He's set apart from every other man, because he's the only one in history that's without sin. He said he had done nothing amiss. Even on the cross, he knew that he may have never met Jesus personally, but he knew he had done no wrong. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in him. But I promise you, when the people want something done, they're going to get their way with it. They don't care who you are or what you are. Even in suffering, Christ was innocent. I mean, how many of us can say that even in our darkest time and the terrible is coming down, and it just feels like there's nothing good happening? Can we just stand innocent before God and not complain or not find fault or not talk about bad about anybody, but stay innocent? But no, the Lord did. He is Lord and King even in suffering. Lord, remember me. He called him Lord. The thief saw beyond the cross to the crown. He knew what he truly was. And the superscription also declared him king in the previous verse in 38. It says, and the superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Though it was mockery towards him, but it was his true title. He is the King of all. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is he that was dead and yet liveth. Amen. He is also the hope for all sinners. He has a kingdom beyond this world. When thou comest into thy kingdom, in verse 42, remember me. He reigned and was not ended on by the cross, but no, that just started his reign. He's forever going to reign. He's forever going to have a dominion over everybody because he's Lord. The earth is his footstool. He is a hope for only hope for sinners. It ain't this world that's your hope. It ain't the government that's your hope. It ain't the president that's your hope and what he's doing. I couldn't imagine being lost in this and thinking that I have hope in what this government's doing and where they're going to take us. No, because your only hope you're ever going to find is in the Lord Jesus. He's the only hope for you. Amen. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of itself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, of not in your works. It's not of anybody else. It's of the Lord. Amen. And not of the blood of bulls and of goats, but of his own blood, he entered in once into a holy place, not obtaining eternal redemption for us. It's only by his blood that we can find redemption, that we can find hope for our lost sin condition. The thief was turned to Jesus alone, because Jesus alone, no works, no baptism, no church membership, and only Christ. I saw this thing the other day. I think it was, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they were talking about the how you can't be saved without baptism, pretty much. And they were talking about how someone on their deathbed, how can they be saved? Can they be saved? Or because they can't be baptized. They're in a hospital bed. And they're basically saying no, because they had all this time in their life because that the Lord convicted them and all that. And they never got saved. So they're going to die and go to hell on their deathbed. And that's just a horrible way to look at it, to know that the Lord came into this world to save everybody. But the only way you can be truly saved is you have to be immersed in water. That's just showing you, everybody else, you have been born again. That's just a display of your faith. He is the only hope for sinners. No baptism. He wasn't a part of no church. He was still a thief on that cross. According to everybody else there that day, he was still a thief. But to the Lord, he was now his child. He was a son of God. He's only Christ. But lastly, when you'll see seeing our salvation for how great it is, that's how you can find hope. If your salvation is just like anything else, I mean, that's not going to, it's got to be something out of this world to you. It's got to be something so special to you that I like, when I got saved on July or January 28th, it's not just like this other day. It's not when the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship. It's not all this stuff. It's not like when the Atlanta Braves won the World Series. No, it's something greater than all of that. It's the best thing that'll ever happen to you in this life, and you're lost in this building. You don't know what we're talking about. This is foreign to you because you can't explain you don't understand the joy that is in our souls. That is overflowing, and it's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to your life. Salvation is by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I already said it once. One simple plea, remember me, just like in when Peter was sinking, he said, Lord, save me. It doesn't take this long, drawn-out prayer. It's just simple faith is all it is. It's not Lord omniscient one, Lord, please come down from heaven above. No, it's just, Lord, save me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm not saying you're going to repeat this prayer. I'm just saying you got to say in your heart. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. One simple plea, no time for good works. He didn't have time to go give $100,000 to missions. He didn't have time to do all this stuff. No, he just called upon the Lord. That's all you have to do. He's the only hope. He is salvation by grace through faith. Salvation is immediate. He didn't give him a waiting period. He didn't say, give me a few weeks before I have an availability open up in heaven so I can have time to build this mansion for you. No, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I'm glad it wasn't, he didn't push me off. He didn't say, you're going to find something else to do because I ain't got no room for you up here. No, he opened his arms wide and he accepted me for who I was. He didn't wait for me to get saved, or he didn't wait for me to get good and to clean up. No, he did the work after I got saved. Though I was a missionary's kid. I was a pastor's kid. It don't matter. I was still as lost as this thief was on the cross. I was still lost as that person in jail or the wickedness in this world. I was still wrong. I was still wicked. I was still vile as they were. It don't matter your background. He's no respecter of the person. You're no different from anybody else. He gave no waiting period. Salvation is instant upon belief. It's also a personal. Salvation is personal. He said, with me in paradise. To know that he's with the Lord of all glory, with him, it's got to be personal. Not just a place, but it's a person. Man. Salvation is complete and secure. It says, shalt thou be with me. Not certainly, not a possibility. It's certainly not a possibility. He says, shalt thou be with me. The veil later torn in verse 45 symbolizes the full access to God. I'm thankful that we don't have to go through the Levites anymore to get to the Holy of Holies. No, we can go directly to God. And we take that for granted right now. We have unrestricted prayer to God right now. You know, a prayer can do anything that God can do. We have access to the maker of all the world, of all everything we see right now, and yet we won't even do it. We won't even take time to pray to the Lord. We won't even take time to read his word and to get closer with him. And what a shame that is to know that we can just speak to the Lord and talk to him about anything. He said that you can come to the throne of grace boldly, and we won't even do it. We have full access to him. Salvation is powerful enough to save at the last hour. It don't matter as long as the Lord's dealing with you and you haven't put him off until you've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Hey, you still have hope. You still have that voice from God speaking to you. I promise you still have hope. A dying thief received eternal life. He didn't have no waiting period. I mean, he was instant upon belief. And to know that this other malefactor, this other thief died and went to hell that close, feet away from the Lord, that he could have been saved. And just to think about all eternity, he's going to have to think about how he mocked him and how he was that close to being saved, how he could have been like that other thief and went to heaven with him. But no, he turned away from him. He pushed him off. And that's just how this world is today, that no one cares about who Jesus is. No one cares about what he is or who he is. And to think about there's people that are dying and going to hell in a church pew, that they've heard enough gospel in their lifetime to save the whole world 100 times over, and yet they'll die and go to a hell. And they'll have to remember every single time that their pastor got up here and plowed and labored and studied the word and preached it to them, and they're going to die and go to hell and remember all that time that the Lord convicted their heart, showed them that they were a sinner, showed them that they needed a Savior, and he was the only one that could do the job for them, and they'll have to live with that through eternity. When the Lord says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, that's going to be the worst words they'll ever hear in their lives, or in eternity. And they were that close. I'm afraid that it's too often that the people die and go to hell in a church pew. I mean, we hear the gospel all the time. I mean, there's people out in the world that they've never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and yet there's church members dying and going to hell over it. I mean, I've heard of stories of African tribes or anything. They get the gospel and they get on fire for God because they've never felt such joy in their life. I mean, they got the Lord of all glory coming down and meeting with them. I mean, but if you want to have hope, and you're going to have to see your salvation for how great it is. You're going to have to see your sin for what it is and see him for who he is. That's how you have hope in this lifetime. It's not by anything else. It's not by this world or by what you might have. It's not by your money. But if you want hope, you got to have Jesus. You got to have the only light in the world. Though it was dark on that day, he still had light. He still had the Lord of all glory was shining bright to him. And he can shine bright to you if you just let him.